You know, I've heard it said that we are a nation of laws. And I think that's right. It's a good thing to have laws. But do we have to have so many stupid ones?
Amen.
I went online. Yeah, I hear you. I went online to get some examples for this sermon. And I was amazed. There are some laws out there that make you wonder what they were thinking. Now here's one that really makes you think. In Devon, Texas, it is against the law to make furniture while you are naked. Is there really a problem here with this? Was there a sudden outbreak of really ridiculous injuries with power tools? I don't even want to think about my table saw right now. Now here's another head scratcher. In Richmond, right up the road, it is illegal to flip a coin in order to see who will pay for coffee. Really? That sounds like something Starbucks cooked up. But let's be serious for a moment, shall we? In New York, where they have all those skyscrapers, the penalty for jumping off a building is
death.
Isn't that kind of like unnecessary? I mean, don't these things sort of work themselves out? And it's still on the books in Texas. If you are going to commit a crime, you legally have to notify the police 24 hours in advance. Now, it's not that we don't have weirdness right in our own backyard. Did you know that in Virginia Beach, it is illegal for a person to ride on the handlebars of a bike? When was the last time you saw any kids doubling, as we used to call it? Virginia Beach has a lot of laws that, upon reflection, really are in need of some further reflection. For instance, it is illegal to use profanity on Atlantic Avenue and the boardwalk. Of course, on Pacific Avenue, you can let her rip, no problem. And you don't want to hear the things they're saying on Baltic. Now, they take their cars and driving seriously over in Virginia Beach. Did you know that it is unlawful to drive by the same place within 30 minutes on Atlantic Avenue? Mm-hmm, yes. They must want to make sure there's a lot of variety of cars for the people on the sidewalks. You can't have the same old cars coming by over and over again, now can you? And you'd better stay straight in Virginia Beach. If you are drunk and not driving your car, and the person who is driving your car is drunk also, you both receive DUIs. Huh? I guess when you go to court for that, you better find your parking space real quick and on the first try, so you don't have to pass it within 30 minutes looking for it again. Are you surprised that there are laws about what you can do on the street? You know, we spend so much time in our cars. I guess that all makes sense, right? And too bad not all the laws that deal with the street do. Prince William County, Virginia. It is illegal to park a car on the railroad tracks. Something tells me the insurance companies lobbied for this one.
Yeah.
Or maybe the railroads. In Salt Lake County, Utah, it is illegal to walk down the street carrying a violin in a paper bag. Okay, well, what if you were running? Would you be okay then? Would that free you from any penalty? And here's the best one. In Culpeper, Virginia, no one may wash a mule on the sidewalk. So I guess if you want to open a mule wash in Culpeper, Virginia, you better make sure there's not a sidewalk in front of your business. Now, maybe that one's out of concern for the animal's sensitivities. We have a lot of laws concerned with that. Why, right next door here in Norfolk, spitting on a seagull is illegal. No wonder PETA made their headquarters over there. It's a fact that in Oklahoma, you can be arrested for making ugly faces at a dog. Now, what if the dog has an ugly face? What then? Is there a fine for bringing the dog out in public? And in Illinois, giving a lighted cigar to an animal is illegal. Smokeless tobacco, on the other hand, is A-OK. Now, when you look at all these animal laws, it's clear. We hold our animals in high regard. And we might even hold our animals in higher regard than our women. Did you know that in half of the states of the United States, there are laws on the books that describe when you can legally beat your wife? I'm not making this up. In Virginia, in Stafford County, a man may beat his wife, but only on the courthouse steps and only before 8 p.m. Now, that's a good deal more lenient than most states. Most states only allow wife beating, again on the courthouse steps, but only on Sunday. Yeah, the Lord's Day. Is that crazy or what? And as if that wasn't enough, in Arkansas, it is illegal for a woman getting married for the second time to wear a white wedding gown. I guess the penalty might involve a stick of some kind. Here's what's, to me, craziest of all or saddest. Those last laws about women were intended to be, believed to be, helpful. You want to hear why? Making it illegal to wear white at your second time around was intended to prevent a woman from deceiving her husband as to her real marital status. So the marriage would begin with honesty, and that would be a good thing for all involved. And telling a husband he had to go to the courthouse steps before he could beat his wife, so the reasoning went, was intended to give the man a cooling off period. And by the time they got there, the anger would be gone, and then he wouldn't want to do it anymore. Crazy. But maybe no crazier than the way those Pharisees in Mark pursued the law. The question to Jesus was about his disciples not washing their hands. And if they were concerned for health reasons, well, you'd have something there. But in fact, the Pharisees weren't worried about the disciples' health. Notice they don't say dirty hands, but defiled hands. That's a word that describes hands that are unacceptable to God. At least in their judgment. Now let's be sensible. Unlike the people who want to wash mules on the sidewalk, nobody would eat with hands that are full of dirt or anything else that would get in the food. They might even actually put water and soap to their hands already, and we just don't hear it in story. The Pharisees were talking about ritual washing, washing according to their laws. You ever wondered about Jesus going off over this? Now you know why. It really was more about the traditions of the elders and nothing else. Jesus' little speech about the Pharisees abandoning the commandment of God is all about their constantly putting the law above what God really wants, a truly good life for all his people. See, that's why God took the time and went to the trouble to put the Ten Commandments on those stone tablets and give them to Moses. If you read them, you can easily see holding to those commandments means a really good life. It's a life that no politician can give you, even though he or she might promise it over and over again. Those commandments set you right with God, but more than that, they set you right with all your neighbors. And if you're all right with each other, well, your life is going to be awesome. I chose this passage today because it's perhaps the clearest one regarding Jesus, the commandments, and stupid laws. Unlawful laws. What is an unlawful law? It's one that contradicts what bigger, more foundational laws say. Sometimes there are reasons for laws that make sense. And then they're not stupid. You know what the Pharisees were doing with laws or traditions like this one? They had a belief, a core belief, that you must do everything you can to avoid being unclean. And if they could obey all those laws, most of which they cooked up, then God would be obliged to them. Obliged to them? How stupid do you have to be? Or how unlawful? Or how much opposed to God? Well, Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew that they were only concerned with themselves. So he was ready with a devastating example right from the commandments. Now, if you look at the commandments, the first three have to do with God, right? You shall have, let's see, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make an idol, you know, and you shall, let's see, I'm always losing my place here. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's the first three. Then there's a transitional one, one that honors God and cares for people. You shall honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The very first one that has to do with people only is, anybody know? Honor your father and your mother. First one God says for all people. But listen to the rest of that commandment. So that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God wants us to live long. So God gave us these laws that he knows are for our absolute good. But the Pharisees can't have that. No, sir. If it was that simple, they'd lose considerable power. Their power resided in the fact that their law was so complicated you needed experts to help you figure it out, to help keep you from, you feared, making God mad. And it also protected them, having these laws, so that they could always find justification for some of the selfish things they did. And Jesus zeroes in. God said, you should honor your father and your mother. But you people would take their support away for your own good. Korban, the word mentioned in the passage, means something like tithe. These people would starve out their mother and father in order to have something to put in the offering plate. Now, would the parents be living a good, happy life like God wanted? If you refused to help them so that you could maintain your tithe, would you be living right with your ultimate neighbor, family? Jesus knew God's intentions had been foiled. These people really were making void the word of God. I'm afraid that we in modern American society have forgotten God's intentions for our lives. We work to make our lives happy and peaceful on our own. We make all kinds of rules and laws that we think will do the job, and some of them, as you've heard, can be quite stupid. And we do that quite apart from God. And I'm really afraid that, like the Pharisees, we take all the credit and make ourselves bigger and more important than we really are or ever could be. Have we made void the word of God, or have we simply forgotten about it? Think about some of the things we've worried about or are worrying about today. Can we set those worries aside and pick up the much easier way that God has intended all along? I could make a list here of things that we worry about. But for everything I list, someone might get offended or might just laugh. Think about those things in your own mind today, the things that worry you. This afternoon, as you lay down tonight, as you go through your week, and then think about what God has in mind. If we tried to live by these really basic things and the really basic commandment that underlies them, Jesus' great commandment, how much more would our lives be unanxious, unafraid, uncluttered, and unbelievable? Well, that's what you're going to hear in the next 11 weeks. Now, I know we said there'd be 10 weeks on the commandments. There are actually 11 because next week we're going to have a sort of warm-up. We're going to talk about Jesus' great commandment. Now, I have an assignment for you, and you might want to write it down. Mark 12, 28 through 34 is the passage that describes Jesus issuing the great commandment. I like Mark's version because of the clarity and the simplicity, and because Mark was the original gospel. Mark 12, 28 through 34. Go home and read it, maybe today, maybe this week, preferably tonight, before you go to bed. Mark it in your Bible and maybe even reread it during the week. And then think about it. How good would your life be if you and everyone else lived by that great double commandment? And with that said, let us pray.